This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, indeed, a credible end to the season in high school gymnastics for Bloomington South. The Super Six competing in its first state championship in 11 years. Michelle Stroud's Panthers wound up seventh recently over at Ball State, scoring well over 100 points. A solid scripted story given to us by the young ladies, the purple and white, that compete in gymnastics over the entire winter. Second place in the sectional, second in the regional. The girls went into the state, finishing fifth in the overall state poll. Veteran coach Lisa Jones stepping aside late season, turning the reins over to her assistant, Michelle Stroud, who helped the team fulfill its one team, one dream motto of making it to the state. Before it's all over tonight in this story to be told, a tight-knit group of six young ladies, four of them seniors, who never lost sight of its goal. Tonight, as we say, we'll unfold that story from beginning to end, as depicted by Michelle Stroud, herself a South alum and former Panther gymnast. Well, focus on the many accomplishments. That's what we'll do, and so were the girls. Well, focus. The journey and how it all unfolded. Focus being the operative word following the resignation of its head coach, who, along with the senior girls, helped pin that one team, one dream motto for Bloomington South in the sport. It's the beginning tonight as we welcome you to Sports Talk. As always, we're live from Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, along with our producers, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. On-site producers, Joanna and Mike Glasscott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, and welcome to our storytelling tonight and our sports conversation. A little bit later, a preview of the 81st Masters unfolding from Augusta National in full bloom right now. And mentioning that, Mike Glasscott, as we mentioned, is our associate producer. Well, he's going to be assisting us again this year. His views and a preview, being our resident PGA golf analyst, if you will, on what might be and what we might be seeing starting in round one Thursday against the backdrop of the beautiful magnolia trees and the azaleas currently in bloom, the season's first major, a tradition like no other, the Masters. Well, we got a lot to talk about, and we welcome to the program the head coach now of the South Gymnast at Bloomington South High School, Michelle Stroud, as we mentioned. Michelle wears a lot of hats, we found out in talking with her before we came on the air. The gymnastics center coordinator for the Monroe County Y Gymnastics Center and the head team coach for a relatively newly developed competitive team that's in its second year. We'll get more from Michelle on that. But certainly, Michelle, it was a story to be told. And six young ladies, a tight-knit group. Welcome to the show. It must have been I hate to use the word traumatic, but unexpected resignation. You fought through that. The girls kept their focus, and you made state. What a story.
Yes, we did. Thank you for having me tonight.
Talk to me a little about, first of all, and let's kind of preface the evening with the resignation of Lisa Jones. Heck, she coached you back when you competed in the early 90s. How much was it a shock? And talk about the remnants after the fallout of her stepping away after being the only head coach in the sport.
It was a surprise. We are very close in and out of the gym, and I've known her obviously since I was a gymnast myself. And Lisa is South Gymnastics. She does not like us to say that because she believes the girls are South Gymnastics, but it was definitely a blow. But we all just decided on that day when they came in and talked to us about it that we were going to keep going and doing this for her. And that kind of extended our phrase to Yuma know who this is for, because Lisa coached it in Yuma, Colorado before she coached at Bloomington South. So we kind of coined that phrase and still kept the one team, one dream.
Well, and I've known her, being the only coach that the school has ever had in the sport, I've known her for three decades plus, and we wish her well.
Yes.
And she's continuing on. I think what the neat thing was about the whole scenario, when you made state, Lisa Jones was in the stands.
She was, yes. She actually was commentating They did a live news feed and invited her to come and commentate with them. So she gave some color commentation, and it was just nice to have her there. It felt right that she was there.
Well, you know, we're kind of just getting the spring season rolling, and I know that all of your girls would have been here, their parents and everything, yes, to tell the story. But tell the story about how involved and how important gymnastics is to your girls, because they're spread out everywhere.
They are. You know, we have five girls that are from Bloomington United Gymnastics, and our two juniors are still competing. So they'll have their competition for club has ended as well as high school, but they have to maintain their skill level all year round. So those two, as well as our senior Emma DeLavore, are all at practice tonight at their clubs, practicing, getting ready. Emma actually has a meet this weekend. And then we have our other three seniors. Catherine's actually coaching at Bloomington United now. And Kelsey Shermer is at Purdue cheer tryouts. She's going to try something new in college, so I'm excited for her as well.
Catherine McGeeman, talking about her, Ashlyn DeMoss, Abby Kaonishi,
yes,
a junior. But introduce us to the young ladies and their contributions, because the accomplishments, I just briefly touched on it, but, you know, you got over the hump of, yes, of battling those Columbus schools, trying to get to the next level, and you did that with those second-place finishes in the sectional regional. But introduce us to your girls.
Sure. Ashlyn DeMoss and Abby Kaonishi were our two juniors, and they were new to the team this year. But they are great, I mean, incredible gymnasts. They're beautiful to watch, and they came in with a high level of skill and were able to contribute to the team immensely. Abby, who was our floor champion at sectionals, she won the floor exercise. Ashlyn came in and started flipping vaults. She was coming back from a knee injury. She had surgery, I think, last spring or early in the summer. And so she was coming back from that. And, I mean, if you saw in the paper and, you know, at a meet, she came back strong. She was flipping vault for us halfway through the season. She was our highest score on bars. We could always count on her. And Ashlyn was one of those kids I could put in if, you know, someone wasn't feeling well, or if someone, you know, had an injury during a meet. I could put Ashlyn in at the last minute, and she was willing and ready to go. So that was really, it was really nice to see. And then we had our four seniors. So we had, you know, we had an older team this year, and it was interesting. It was a great, really nice, small group of kids, but they were, I mean, so powerful and so, I mean, such a strong team.
Well, and that's that led to the Super Six, and,
yes,
and because you did make state, and it wasn't the first time that the high school made state. But take us along. Let's talk a little about the journey, because the journey began, and at one point or another, Michelle, I know in three straight meets and five times this year, you guys set school record for points total.
We did, yes. This is something, this team has been coming along. I mean, we've had Kelsey, Catherine, and Kaylee all came out their sophomore years. Emma's been on the team for 4 years since she was a freshman. The other three were competing club, and they decided their sophomore year they wanted to try it out. Meg Euler, who was 1 year ahead of them, had kind of paved the road for that to happen. And she came in, and they saw that, you know, high school gymnastics was something, it was something in itself, very different from a club experience, very team-oriented. And they came in, and they started realizing together they were really strong. And, you know, as Emma came up through the ranks, you know, from freshman, sophomore, junior year, it just became this plan that we have to make it to state. We're capable of this. And this year they knew the team was going to be small. I don't think they were prepared for it to just be six, but they knew with those four seniors, if they brought in the juniors, they talked to the girls and convinced them to come out for the team, because they knew with those two juniors added in, we could really make this happen.
Michelle Stroud joining us, the head coach of the Bloomington South gymnastics team, who advanced all the way to the state this past year, the third time that the Southsiders have been to state. They were 7th in 02 and 5th in 06. And as Michelle was mentioning, just a season packed with accomplishments and high scores, well over 110 points. For instance, at regional, that was the fifth time, actually, and it couldn't come at a better time. But talk to me, Michelle, a little about the landscape and how it's changed. You mentioned a lot of your girls come from, you know, the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
When do girls get interested in the sport as you've seen it? And were you in a club when you got your, before Lisa got a hold of you in your high
not.
School days?
Lisa refers to me as being one of her homegrown gymnasts. I had taken a few little classes here and there,
right,
as a child, but not until I got to South did I really become that involved in the sport. And the girls that we have now have all been doing gymnastics since they were 5 and 6 years old. I had Emma DeLavore in Y classes when she was 5. So I've known her for a really long time. And all of the girls are that same way. They started taking classes when they were little, and they just stuck with it. They usually get invited to team by the time they're 6, 7 years old. And they're on team from that age until, you know, until they go to high school or until they go to college. It just depends on what path they decide to take.
Well, it's an interesting concept, and the story being told tonight of the Bloomington South Lady Panther gymnast who finished in state 7th a couple of weeks ago over at Ball State. We'll talk more about the journey and revisit the season, the accomplishments with Michelle Straub, now in charge of the gymnastics program at Bloomington South. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
The Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame does more than honor the great athletes, coaches, contributors, and humanitarians that grace its hall. The Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame annually awards scholarships to outstanding student athletes from the county's 3 high schools. To learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com. This message is made possible by the generous support of Comprehensive Financial Consultants, the proud title sponsor of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame.
If you need to sell your home, it's your friend Sean Hannity here to tell you, even though this nation may be uncertain about a lot of things, selling your home doesn't have to be one of them. I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you the one agent whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Juan Carlos Carrasquel of the JuanSells.com Realty Company. He has a system that outmarkets 99% of agents in Bloomington. Now, because of that, if he can't sell your home at a price and deadline that you agreed to, he'll buy it himself. Now, you risk nothing, since at any point, if you're not happy, guess what? You can fire him and pay nothing. And if I needed to sell my home, well, I'd call Juan Carlos Carrasquel at 812-369-0785, 812-369-0785, or online at JuanSells.com. JuanSells.com. And consider your home sold.
At the corner of 10th and Indiana for over 20 years, Yogi's Kitchen and Tap is Bloomington's best IU sports bar and restaurant. Yogi's lunch specials now run until 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. For just $7.99, you get the house-made daily special, choice of soft drink, and plenty of free parking in their 2 parking lots. If you're tight on time, don't worry, as the specials are also available for carryout. Also, check out the new pool tables. Find all the details at yogis.com and go Hoosiers.
This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk on a Tuesday night, live from Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, where our employee of the week is a young lady doing a great job, Pat Skelton. And we'll congratulate Pat and have more on what Yogi's is doing. They got a brand new menu. Gosh, every time I come in here, they have added something new to the menu. So stop on by sometime this month here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Talking with Michelle Straub about the Bloomington South Gymnastics Program and now under the tutelage of Michelle. You know, we talked a little about the bonding and the tight-knit group, and it went a long way right from the get-go, did it not? Because when you started, when Lisa started, you know, back, and you guys get going in January, talk about the expectations then and how you saw it kind of develop.
Well, I think our expectations were a little higher than the girls were at the time, because they see scores that other schools are putting up, and they're thinking to themselves and telling us, I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we can get to where they're at. And we kept telling them all season, you have no idea how good you really are. If you could just see yourselves through our eyes for, you know, just a moment, you would understand what we see. And then they started putting up those big scores, and they started to realize, hey, I think we can do this. I think this can happen. And it did. I mean, we weren't beating the Columbus schools early in the season. We had home meets with both of them,
right.
East and North, and they both got us. But you know, they took notice of that we were a lot stronger than we've ever been.
And it was a team, not only talented but very versatile, was it not?
Absolutely. In some ways, we had some girls that were dealing with some past injuries that couldn't compete on certain events, so we just couldn't use them. But then we had some girls that could compete anywhere. And when you have this high level of a team, You know, you're having kids sit the bench at these big meets where we only compete four, that still have a high level of skill that we could put in at any moment and still score above a nine. So that was pretty incredible to have six girls that had that capability.
Well, before you got to the postseason, you won the Panther invite, you won the Valentine invite up at Bloomington North, and you were runner-up at Conference Indiana, and that is noted because was that the week of the resignation of Coach Lisa Jones?
That was about 2 days after.
So you competed, and obviously Columbus North has been the prime team in that circuit, but coming out of it, all-conference, Ashlyn DeMoss, co-coach was Lisa Jones,
yes.
And Catherine McGibbon, also all-conference.
Yes, they were.
So you went from there, got a little springboard. Talk about then the sectional preparation. Again, the roadblock, the top three teams advance onto the regional. You were over at Columbus East, who is another toughie you've had to deal with for decades. But talk about the mental and the preparedness going in for the entire postseason. We'll start with the sectional.
The girls knew going into sectional was the big one that we had to make it through. If we made it through sectional, our regional, the schools coming in just were not putting up as big of scores. But sectionals was the important one because we've got Owen Valley, we've got, you know, Franklin Central, we've got East and North and all of these big schools. And that was the one we were really explaining to the girls. We have to hit clean, solid, safe routines. We don't want to put anything at risk. And the girls were able to do that. You know, as I mentioned, Abby Kawanishi won floor that night. We had a lot of great scores come up, and we had girls picking each other up. If there was a mistake made or a fall here or there, they would, you know, come through, and the next girl was ready to go. They were really good at leaving an event at an event. You know, Beam has been a struggle for us all season, and we unfortunately had to finish on Beam that night. But they were able to move from one event to the next and really just go to the next event with a clear head, ready to compete. You know, and kind of ready to go to battle, I guess you could say.
Well, you went to battle, and Columbus North barely won that. And with that being said, then, you had the next Friday night. You were back at Columbus East. Talk a little about the regional. And, well, there had to be a little heartbreak there because, first of all, you had a good feel for the competition.
Yes.
And second of all, you could possibly see, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you could see the focus just dialed in by your girls.
Yes, absolutely. And we got lucky at regionals. We had Olympic rotation, which is the ideal rotation of events. So we were vault, bars, beam, floor at regionals. So we get to finish strong on floor. And the girls, this was something they wanted so desperately, and they were completely dialed in. And ready, I mean, they were ready to go when we got there. And we had the highest scores. We had the highest scores as a team that night on floor of any team in the state, which was incredible because the girls at that moment, I think they finally saw just how talented they were. It was kind of a beautiful thing to see.
Well, and mentioning stepping up, I know Kelsey had the top score with a 9.725.
That's right.
She was the first Panther to win a regional title since Casey Abel back in the beam many, many years ago.
Yes.
Let's see, that 15 years ago anyway.
Yes.
How cool was that?
That's amazing. Yeah, we were so happy for Kelsey. She's so much fun to watch on floor, and everyone, she makes you want to watch her. And she just looks like she's having a blast. And she was, when she came up, I mean, she took to the floor and she just owned it. I mean, that was her school at that moment. It was great.
Well, and again, the top three advanced on, and you did that. You had a second place against Columbus North, and again, Kelsey leading the way there. So, and you scored 29 points on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a goodly little sum there in the whole when it was all said and done, wasn't it?
Yes, that was huge. Like I said, it was the highest floor total in the state for that weekend.
And got beat by
three-tenths of a point. We lost the regional by three-tenths, yes.
Well, anyway, ahead was the Worthen Center at Ball State. It's been a host to the state gymnastics for many, many years. You knew then you were making your first trip in 11 years. So despite the three-tenths of a point loss as regional possible titleist, you're at state. What was the feel going into practice that week with the girls knowing that they had, well, climbed, not to the top just yet, but they got over the hump?
They did. They had a lot of nagging injuries that week, a lot of just nagging soreness and, you could tell, like, they had reached the pinnacle and they were exhausted from all of the mental stress the last couple of weeks. And so we didn't work them that hard the week coming into state. We had practice, I believe, 3 days that week. We gave them a couple days off. But because on Friday we actually left and had an evening workout at Worthen Arena. So they actually got to go and experience the equipment and see where the other teams were at. And that's when I think nerves kind of set in, that they realized we made it, but oh my gosh, these other teams are really good. And we kept explaining to them, so are you. You are just as good. So we just kept telling them that all week, that they really are that good. They deserved to be there. They were one of those amazing teams that were at state. You know, yes, the other teams are great too, but we were in great company. So it was something that we had to just kind of keep reiterating.
And, you know, that's contagious, and they see it, but they also say, well, hey, let us compete, and we'll show you what we got.
Yes.
I mean, the shoe's on the other foot.
Yes.
And what good, you know, turnaround and fair play there. But Kaylee Erton, fifth
yes.
on the vault, and, you know, and having an opportunity to be on the podium, getting a state medal, what that mean to the young lady and the program, really?
That was incredible. Kaylee has been, you know, she just has not had the best luck in gymnastics as far as she's had injuries at the end of
the
every year.
Knee problems, hasn't it?
She, no, not with her. Kaylee had a precursor to a stress fracture in her back
wow.
at the end of her sophomore year.
Wow.
Going into her, well, at the beginning of her junior year, she actually, it kept her out of sectionals and regionals last year. And then
so
this
year. So worst possible injury you could have being
yeah,
a gym,
it
being
is.
A gymnast.
Which is what kept her off bars and beam this year. And then coming into this season, she had a stress fracture in her lower leg. And so, you know, we really kind of focused in on vault. That's why she didn't compete floor at state. And, you know, it just came down to she was willing to do whatever we needed her to do. But vault is something she's been chasing that school record and scored just 0.05 below it. So it's been kind of a heartbreaker. And the thing I told her at our banquet last week was, you know, Kaylee, you may not have your name on that record, but you walked away with a state medal. And I think that's even more important than holding a record at the school, because that can always be broken, but no one can take that medal away from her. And she was, I was incredible. That's one of my best moments of coaching, was when she hit that second vault. You know, she just, to have her turn and give me a hug and say, yeah. I did it, you know, and I knew she was going to place. There was no way. It was so beautiful.
And 108.5 points plus. Valparaiso knocked off Columbus North. Chesterton, who had been highly regarded as a possible state champion, finished third. But, you know, you look at the final scores between the top four teams. I mean, there wasn't a lot of daylight in between the winning score of Valpo and Fort Wayne Dwinger, who was fourth.
Yes. So. It was a tough – I mean, it was a tough group of teams that we knew. This was one of the top – I would say one of the most difficult state competitions that I've seen. Everyone was so closely ranked. It really could have gone any direction. Any one of the teams that were there that day could have taken that title. It really came down to who hit the routines. You know, no falls, no mistakes. So –
Well, and it's real neat. We talked with the basketball squad here not long ago after they won the sectional. Their goal was to win 20 games. Your goal was to make it to state and obviously compete like crazy, finishing second at both the sectional and regionals. You now will have your mural, your picture.
Yes.
Up on the wall. Talk about the banquet setting. I know it was a week ago. Well, it was last Tuesday night, or we would have had you in here then.
Yes.
So there was a little bit of a conflict. Did Coach Jones, was she there or anything? Or
she did not come to the banquet last
okay.
week. She decided to kind of leave that to me. She and I still talk daily. So
yeah.
We still, you know, she's been a mentor for me for a long time. So she decided not to come to the banquet because she wanted to kind of leave that to us since we had finished the season out. And, you know, it was a really nice setting. The parents actually had it at the country club. And we basically just, it was a very nice close group, parents and grandparents. And we just sat around and we talked about, you know, how the season had played out. And, you know, something the girls had always said is, I've seen them post, and I've even said myself, people would say, well, how did it go? How did state turn out? And I would say, well, maybe not the way that we would have liked in seventh place. But to be honest, we made it. And to be seventh in the state out of you know, what, 72 teams?
Right.
That's an accomplishment. And that's what I was trying to explain to the girls. Don't ever be disappointed in seventh place, because we were there. And you got to compete in this amazing arena, and you did everything that you could do this season. So.
And they crossed a lot of barriers along the way, didn't they?
They did. Yes, they did. And I think that they, you know, it's so good for the sport, these girls coming out this year. And I so appreciate that, because high school gymnastics needs kids like that, that just love the sport and want to come out and do their best.
Because it is such a, it's not like a relay team in track and field. It's not like bringing someone off the bench, so to speak, and helping in basketball. But it's an individualized technique sport, mm-hmm. where you have to really bring it every and continue to work on those routines. But yet, too, when it's all said and done, it becomes a team sport. And that's what the beauty of the sport is, isn't it, Michelle?
I agree. I, you know, that's something that I've always told the girls, is that you have to work together as a team or this won't happen. You don't get your picture on the wall at South in gymnastics if you go as an individual to state. It has to be the whole team. And, you know, that was a big draw for the girls, is, you know, they knew that it was so important for them. They really wanted to leave their mark on the sport at the high school, and they were able to do just that as a team.
Well, and as unfortunate it was with the resignation again, it is now history. You are now in charge of the program, and as I say, for 15 years, I mean, you have been coordinating the WISE gymnastics program. And
yes.
Tell me a little, and you're the head coach of this newly developed competitive team that Emma, one of your seniors, is competing in this weekend. How's that whole concept worked out for you?
It's been really great. We really, because I've coached high school for so long, we've built this competitive team on, it's still very team-oriented. I just had a parent that tried out for, her daughter tried out for our team last week, and she said she was so impressed with how the girls cheer for each other. They don't even know her daughter, but they were still encouraging her and cheering for her as she was practicing. And that's kind of the goal of that team, is to build the more team mentality. And Emma's doing this year because she really wanted to extend her gymnastics career as long as she could. She's loved the sport, and she's grown so much as a high school gymnast. This was just an opportunity for her to do it a little longer.
Now, she competes at level 8. How many levels are there, and how are the numbers?
They typically start, there is a level 1, but most places start competing at level 2. And that's the really little guys, the 5 and 6 year olds. And then it goes up to level 10. And past level 10 is what they call elite, which is what you would see in college or, you know, Olympic level, if you want to look at it that way. So Emma's a level 8. And we are competing through the YMCA, the Ohio Valley region. And because we're the only YMCA in the state of Indiana that competes, that has its own competitive team. So we compete through Ohio.
Well, it's interesting. Sounds like, and as you told me before we went on the air, you know, hey, our sport, it is a 12-month sport.
Yeah,
it is a 12-month sport, and an interesting one for girls to get involved with. And I know, when it's all said and done, in closing, it just had to be so whirlwind. Have you had a chance to step back and appreciate what the women did, the young ladies did for you?
I finally can now. I feel like I can finally kind of sit back and, you know, I've been going through pictures and sending those to them at the end of the season that we've had taken throughout the season by friends and family. And, you know, being able to sit back and kind of just look at it and enjoy it all has been really nice. And it, you know, I just appreciate those girls so much for everything that, you know, for they've been doing gymnastics their whole lives. So to come out and compete for us this year and represent their high school in such a tremendous way was fantastic.
Well, and what's neat about it, Michelle, you've left an indelible mark, because now you and the girls will have that picture up forever at Bloomington South High School, depicting what was just a storybook 2016-2017 season. And no matter how old you get, you always can come back and look up at the wall, and there
Absolutely.
You are.
Yes.
Hey, it's been fun talking to sport, and keep us involved and keep us in touch with how your team is doing.
Absolutely.
Throughout the how long does the season go, the competition now, this what you're involved in right now? Is that
for the Y?
For the Y.
It goes from November through March, and then we'll be traveling to Savannah, Georgia for YMCA Nationals this summer.
Well, keep us track on how that's doing, okay?
We'll do. Yeah,
and if people
me.
Want more information now about your program, how might they get that?
They can go onto the YMCA website, www.monroecountyymca.org, and click on locations, and gymnastics centers listed there, and they can email me through that link.
Well, one team, one dream, and they made it to state, and the new head coach because of the interim tag, assistant tag, as rightfully so, taken away from, taken and given to the Michelle Stroud, now the head coach of the South gymnast, and best of luck in future years.
Thank you.
Got a smile on your face, and for good reason.
I do. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Michelle. And when we come back, the azaleas are blooming, and those magnolia trees got a little rain in the forecast, but the 81st Masters ahead of us. We'll get a preview from our resident analyst, Mike Glascott. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. As we continue along, don't forget Red Zone Radio, our first broadcast tomorrow night, the Kings of the Ohio against the Phillies. Tough loss the other day on opening day, but after a day off, back to action tonight. And what's today? No, today's Tuesday.
Yeah,
no,
tomorrow night. Tomorrow night.
Thank you. And the familiar voice, Mike Glascott, and our other partner in crime, if you will, when we talk golf, is Lance Ringler on assignment down in Florida. Could not join us. I can't find anyone any better than the man that's going to be next to me for the next 20 minutes.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, we got everything in bloom. The Horton Smith won the first back in 1934, shot a 284 team total. We had, Danny Willett turned some heads, becoming the first Englishman to win since Nick Faldo did it. Back in the 96 when he won his third green jacket. So, outside of the weather, a lot of storylines to develop.
Tons here. Of them, and it always is. It's always an exciting time. It's the unofficial start to the golf season for a lot of people. And the historic nature of the event, the venue itself, Joe, it's the one a lot of people have watched, or the only golf tournament they do watch, and I think that's what always helps with the popularity there. But there are plenty of storylines, and the weather, sadly, will be part of it. Looks like tomorrow's par 3 contest will be in some problems with the rain and thunderstorms and things like that. That will help somebody, Joe, as nobody that ever has won the par 3 contest has gone on to win the tournament. So that will help pass it on. And then the tournament on Thursday and Friday will see cool temperatures and windy conditions, gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Steady winds blowing. It's going to be nasty here in Bloomington as well, so it pushes all the way down there. So that's going to change some things the first 2 days, and those are the 2 days where the guys are trying to hit the top 50 in ties to make the weekend, and then the weekend is going to turn into upper 70s and sunshine, kind of normal spring weather there. So you're almost going to have two tournaments in one. You probably need to keep an eye on the draw to some degree of where everybody's going to be at. But the weather's a problem for two reasons. Number one, the golf ball doesn't go as far.
Right.
And if it's going to rain all day Monday, which it did, they ran people off the course twice. And then if it's going to rain all day Wednesday, well, 74-41 or 74-45, soaking wet, that's going to take some of the shorter hitters out of contention there. And when you're layered up and it's cold, you can't swing the club. The ball doesn't go as far. And that hurts because the easiest holes on that course are all par fives. 1, 2, 3 are 13, 15, and number two. And if those holes, if the weather holds right now, those holes are playing into the wind. So the guys that usually can score on those holes, the big bombers will have the clear advantage on those.
You know, Glass, we had the wraparound and then got rolling with the Tournament of Champions in Kapalua back in January. Give us a feel and what's been going on. For instance, if we talk about competitors at the Masters, we're going to have 19 making their Master debut. But give me a state of the state of the PGA right now since the beginning of the year, because we've added, again, a list, and it's rather sizable of a lot of new names.
A lot of new names, and the way you get into the Masters, Joe, is you have to be in the top 50 by the end of the calendar year. You have to be in the top 30 FedEx Cup from the previous year, and you've needed to win on tour in the last calendar year and play in the Ryder Cup teams as well. That's what gets you in the Masters. There's about 19 different ways to do it. But those are the main ways everybody gets in. And what have you seen this year? Well, you've seen Justin Thomas win three times. You've seen Dustin Johnson win three events that he's played in a row leading into the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama won earlier in the year. Who else has a bunch? There's another multiple winner I can't think of off the top of my head. But you've got guys that are winning, and guys in their 20s that are winning, Joe. I think of the 20 winners, 13 of them have been in their 13 or 14 have been in their 20s, and not a lot of normal winning type guys. It's the youngsters that are taking over, and that's what makes it interesting. It's the next generation. It's who's going to be next. Who's going to be the next this guy or that guy? Well, Jordan Spieth, really nice player. Ricky Fowler's got to win. Rory McIlroy, back problems, played a couple events. You've got so many guys right now that are playing great golf that you can dump a hat of 12 out and you wouldn't be surprised any of them won. So you've got some young guys playing well. You've got multiple winners. That should give you some clues on who's playing well coming into this. And the early part of the season has shown guys aren't afraid to go out there and win one or two times. Remember, winning twice in a year is a big deal. Well, Justin Thomas has won three times. Dustin
Johnson
all
that
has won
early,
three times. And we're not even to April 5th yet. So that's an impressive start, no doubt about it, and that's what makes this field widely open. Then you throw in Phil Mickelson, who's playing well recently. You throw in Danny Willett, your defending champion. Where is he at right now? That's a tough thing to do. You've got the champions dinner. You've got all the media attention on you. There's a reason why Woods is the last player to win this back-to-back. There's only been three guys win it back-to-back. It's Nicklaus, Faldo, and Woods.
Right.
That should tell you everything you need to know about guys winning it and defending their championships.
I know that the Champions Banquet dinner is tonight. That's always an annual event. Willett has been a bit coy on what he's going to serve up to the rest of the champs. A toad in the hole, sausage links, and Yorkshire pudding.
That's right. English roast, beef roast, and roasted potatoes and vegetables. He'll have, Yorkshire pudding. That's a Yorkshire dinner and some nice wine to go with it. I saw he posted that this morning on his Twitter and Instagram feed. So some nice wine to go with it as well. And I think it was Ben Hogan who started. Was it Ben Hogan? I think it was Ben Hogan who started the Champions Dinner. So a neat tradition there where all the guys get together. We have the TV on here, obviously, at Yogi's. And there's Tiger Woods on the Golf Channel. He'll be at the Champions Dinner tonight, Joe, but that's the only time we'll see of him tonight, as sadly he is not physically able to participate in the Masters, and that's not good for anybody, but it's surely not good for Tiger.
Yeah, Ben won a couple of times in 51, shooting a 280, and then came back in 53 and won it again, another green jacket. So it was in the early 50s, so it's been on the calendar sheet on the things to do outside of everything that's going on. And
yeah, a little somber this year, obviously, with the passing of Arnold Palmer.
Yep, sure is.
Last year, and that'll...
Ceremonial tee shots won't be the same.
No, they won't. Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus have a friendly wager on who's going to knock it farthest down the fairway. So Gary's probably doing another 1,000 sit-ups this morning to get ready for that. But, the dinner will be a nice reflection tonight. It'll be a nice remembrance of Arnold, obviously. And, boy, how good was he at the Masters, Joe, if you bring up that 10-year span of... First, third, second, first,
fabulous
third.
Stuff.
It's unbelievable how great they were. And for some of the people that obviously didn't get a chance to see him play, the legend's just going to get bigger and bigger now that the focus will turn to him this week, obviously not being there on the first tee Wednesday or Thursday morning.
Well, last year, of course, Jordan Spieth, he won it in 2015, had things much his way. You just, you know, go back to last year, and his Amen Corner implosion was really Danny Willett's gain. And we mentioned it briefly that he was the first Englishman since Nick Faldo when he's put on three of those back in 96. But you wonder, and obviously on a down note for Spieth, it's going to be in the middle. But is that one of the storylines that we're going to see how he traverses Amen Corner?
Absolutely, and if it comes down to Sunday again where he's got...
I mean, that was just...
Yeah, he had two balls in the water. I don't know what else to tell you. That's
I mean, he goes
just like lead. He said, I didn't want to. I didn't want to do that, but he did. So I don't think it's going to bother him in rounds one, two, or three. It's going to bother him on Sunday. If he's in the hunt, which I would be shocked if he wasn't. He's played three times. He's never finished worse than second. He set the Masters record with Tiger Woods at 270 back in 2015. He's the only guy ever to get it to 19 under on that course. That's not going to happen this year with the weather. We know that. But that's pretty good. In first year, tied for second behind Bubba Watson. Second year, he wins it. And last year, falls apart on 12 and loses by three shots, but still gets second. And he's not satisfied. The one interesting thing about Spieth this week that I like in general, and I was just talking to Mark Cady from Lenny's over there, BBC.
Yeah.
Spieth leading the tour in greens and regulation. And if Augusta National is a second shot course and a ball striker's course, well, he's a pretty good putter too. So if he's hitting the most greens on tour, he's from Texas, Joe. If the wind's going to blow, that's not going to bother him too much. He's mentioned multiple times he enjoys playing in the wind because he can work his golf ball. You've seen how well he played at Pebble Beach earlier in the year where he won, which I couldn't remember Jordan Spieth won, even though I had him that week. But he has every piece from the chin up. He has every piece in his bag. He's a wonderful putter. And, again, he just goes right in that group of about 8 to 12 guys that you could set, you could make a really good case for and say, yeah, I could see this guy winning in a green jacket this week. And I think that's what makes it captivating. It's no longer the Field versus Tiger, or it's going to be a Tiger and Phil show, and we'll see who gets runner-up to them in third place, or the B flight, whatever you want to call it. So Spieth's going to be very, very interesting this week, and I think his mental toughness, Joe, I'm excited to see how he'll play that tee shot on 12 on Sunday. I'm not afraid for him. I think he's, again, he's dealt with that question for a full year, and only he can put it to rest by his actions on the golf course.
Playing with Martin Kaymer and Matthew Fitzpatrick, Daniel Summerhays and Russell Henley, who just won last week, shooting into the 20 unders, winning at Houston Open. And he'll be teeing it off with Summerhays, a couple of the early pairings. You know, we mentioned Willett, and credit to him, while Spieth was imploding, as it turned out, Willett ends up shooting a bogey-free 67.
Beautiful.
He tries on and gets the jacket fitted to him, and he hasn't done much since. And, matter of fact, has he won since?
Jordan Spieth had to put that jacket on him too, so trust me, he won't forget that. Willett was magnificent, bogey-free 67 on Sunday, a guy who's never been in that spot in a major in a big-time golf tournament. He gets up and down from everywhere, no bogeys on the card. He won the golf tournament. Usually at the Masters, Joe, you have to win the golf tournament. People don't fall back to you. People don't fall apart like at the U.S. Open. Bobby Jones designed that place. They flipped the nines after the first year to make the back nine what it is today, because they wanted birdies. They wanted the roars on Sunday. You know where the pin positions are. Danny Willett has struggled since then, but that's not hugely surprising. Why? Well, because major championships change guys' lives, Joe.
Yeah.
You want to speak down? You want to speak at the club tonight for $10,000? You want to go hit balls? It's not a hard choice for a lot of these guys. Remember, Willett had a baby right when that all happened. He just had his first child. He just had his first major championship. He's the first Englishman, as you mentioned, since Faldo in '96. That's a lot of stuff to handle at one time. And he was playing well up to that point. He'd won it, obviously, in Europe. But I do not believe he has won since. He is, again, I don't want to say struggling because I don't think that's fair to him. His life has changed. And how he has to jump back and forth across the pond with kid. Do you bring the kid and family? Do you leave him at home? That's why it's not easy to do. And to that point, Henrik Stenson, who won the fantastic British Open, was that Muirfield? Phil Mickelson, 63 on Sunday. He's got a knee problem all the end of last year. Plays pretty good during that time, but this spring has been really quiet. Well, he's won a major. He wins his major at, what, 40, 41? Is that his crowning achievement? How much more does he want to practice or get after it or jet set and do this? It's interesting how it changes those lives, and that's what made Spieth special to me, because what did he do after he won his first Masters? He won the U.S. Open right after it on a course nobody had played before, on a course that was a burnt-out parking lot. It looked like this table here.
Yeah.
The greens were about that firm, and he found a way to win that and hold his nerve down the stretch, make a birdie at the final hole. Some guys you'll find, Joe, that aren't happy with it. They want to burn, and they burn a little bit more. And that brings me to an up-and-comer. We always talk about experience being the key at the Masters, and it is, and I'll never doubt that, and I'll never go back on that. But do you think it matters where John Rahm's playing right now from Spain? That young fellow won at Torrey Pines, the young Spaniard, 22 years of age. He wins at Torrey Pines, where no young kids are supposed to play well and they're supposed to win. 7,698 yards of golf course there. Breezes off the Pacific Ocean. Well, he goes out and beats the best field of the year to that point. He hasn't been outside the top 16 in stroke play.
WGC match play runner-up to Johnson.
Yeah.
And, well, another guy, too.
Here's what you need to know about John Rahm. John Rahm's agent is Phil Mickelson's brother. Phil Mickelson's brother was the head coach at Arizona State for 120 years, the men's golf coach.
Yeah.
He quit that job to be Rahm's agent. You need to know how good Rahm is?
Story told.
Well, I think we figured it out quite quickly, and he doesn't care. But remember when Spieth went to the Masters for the first time, he hung out with Ben Crenshaw, and he hung out with Carl Jackson, and they got here. This one's going to break that way. You have to trust it. You have to trust your notes. It wouldn't surprise me to see John Rahm, Joe, continue to play well either. When you hear him in the press conference, he says, I don't care. I'm here to play golf. Well, you've won. Why want to win more? What do you think about this? You've never been here. I'm going to go out there and play the best I can and learn as fast as I can to do it. Played with Jose Maria Olazabal and Phil Mickelson today. I think he learned a thing or two out there. So the young Spaniard, definitely one to watch on your radar.
Well, since 06, Phil Mickelson won in 06 in 2010. Bubba won it in 2012. Bubba Watson in 2014. Don't know what color ball he's going to be playing.
That's all,
with.
He's all yours this week,
and,
buddy.
I tell you what. I think I'm going to go elsewhere there. I haven't made up my mind just yet.
I don't have any
evidence to push you there. Got a couple of minutes left. Give me some, give me some sleepers. Give me a peek at the ABC storylines again. Jason Day's mother's in failing health.
Yes, but he gave an interview the other day that said he is at peace. He is good with that. His mother's doing better after surgery,
good.
So he's free. Jason Day has won golf tournaments when he can barely walk. Match play last year, Joe, he couldn't pick the ball out of the hole. Now he's got a clean mind. He might go out and swing it and have some fun with no pressure or worries to think about. Ricky Fowler's playing great. Ricky Fowler through the bag has been unbelievable this year. He has a win. He was third last week. He made 27 birdies at Shell Houston Open, finished third. 27 birdies,
had
Joe.
Just a couple of bad holes.
Oh, had a couple of bad holes, but that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Yep. A McIlroy guy, remember him? It's only the career Grand Slam if he wins this week. Don't forget that. He's got some ghosts at Augusta National that he would like to put to bed after being in contention the last two of the last 4 years and throwing it away on the weekend. Some of your dark horses and guys you want to look at. For me, dark horses are guys that are off the radar, not in the top 15 in the world that you need to look at. Jason Duffner's been playing really well. Don't look at his history at Augusta National. He hits enough greens. He can play through the wind. That should stick him in a decent spot for the weekend. A guy like Hudson Swafford, it's his first time there, but he's coming off back-to-back top tens in his last two outings. Joe, sometimes hot golf doesn't – the hot golf doesn't know what course you're playing. The swing's working. The ball's going where you want it to go. And then Russell Henley. There's a guy, again, who just won last week, who had 27 birdies to match Fowler and shot 20 under par. Yeah. He's played the Masters. This will be his fourth time, Joe, and he went miscut, T31, T21, and three of the last 4 years, or four of the last five, however it works itself out. So it's a guy that's figuring it out as the more experience he gets, and he's played well recently. That never hurts.
Well, we'll see how the weather factors in, and again, it looks like the weekend they'll get a break in the weather, but the first couple of rounds, we'll wait and see how things, shake out. And the winner is?
Ricky Fowler. I can't believe I just said that on the airwaves I think he's full bag.
Okay.
From the putter to the driver and everything in between, Joe. He ranks in top 10 in too many categories for me to list here. He has been there, done that. He has been close in major championships. And this will be his sixth time playing there. So he's got an idea of what it takes to get it around for four rounds.
As always, my friend, thanks for the insight.
Hey, my pleasure.
Mike Glasscock joining us. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, great conversation with Michelle Straub, and congrats again to the Bloomington South girls gymnastics team, finishing seventh in the state, second in the regional, second in the sectional, second in Conference Indiana, and the Super Six doing the job. Also, the inside of one Mike Glasscock, our resident PGA analyst, if you will, previewing the 81st Masters, which gets a roll on Thursday, and we'll keep an eye on the sky the first couple of days. Part of our show tonight has been brought to you by our Royal South Toyota. You know, Royal South wants to, well, keep business local, so travel south and leave happy. Royal South Toyota, our official sponsor for Reds baseball in our first broadcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock against the Phillies, and again on Friday night when they travel for the first time out to Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Again, congrats out to our Employee of the Week here at Yogi's, Pat Skelton. She does a great job here, as does all of the staff. Bloomington Brewery, Beer School, getting ready to start here at 7 o'clock. Fred Glass joins us behind the scenes next Tuesday night.
and a few other notes and quotes we'll be passing along. Hey, have a great week. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. See you next Tuesday night from Yogi's here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. So long for now.
This is News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370, WGCL Bloomington, and WGCLradio.com.